May I introduce our third speaker today is Christine Martin from California. So we have different corners of the country represented today. She's the executive director of the California Telemedicine and eHealth Center, CTEC, the federally designated telehealth regional resource center for California. She served as executive director of CTEC for the last 2 years. Do you call it CTEC or CTEC?
What
do you
CTEC.
Okay, great. For the last 2 years, she's worked with a variety of organizations, both locally and nationally, through the development and expansion of telemedicine networks and increased access to healthcare services. She's over 13 years' experience developing and operating telemedicine programs and more than 30 years' experience in health program administration of various forms. Please join me in welcoming Christine Martin.
Well, good morning. I'm glad to be the last one. I think I can round all this out. I'm going to start with a bold statement. I believe that telehealth will fundamentally change the way we provide care and the way we receive care, and that the changes that are made are really up to our imagination of how we see that we can use this technology. I started doing telemedicine in 1996 in the California State Prison System. I developed the telemedicine program for the California Prison System and did about 75,000 telemedicine visits before I left to go to CTEC. And I used to go into the wardens and say that to them, this will fundamentally change the way we provide care to the inmates. And it was very early on, and they would just look at me like, well, what are we talking about? But now that I've left the prison system and am working in rural and underserved areas, it really is the same equation, that I think every generation has something that they bring that comes up during their generation that really changes the world, and I believe that telehealth is ours. So I only have two things to disclose. One, I am a baby boomer, and two, soon to be an older adult. So, what is telemedicine? Telemedicine is clinical care that's provided from a distance. So it really has to do, when somebody says to you what's telemed, they're talking about primary care, medical specialty services, intensive care services, but clinical services. What is telehealth, which is now becoming more of the buzzword of what people are saying? From the federal government's perspective, telehealth is a much broader group of services, and it includes some of the things that the two prior presenters talked about regional information sharing and having health information exchange, using it in public health scenarios, using it for homeland security and disasters, having health professions education, evaluation and research, we were talking before this session started about if there was health information exchange, as is envisioned by telehealth, you would be able to get redacted data from somebody across every health visit that they had, not only helping the patient get better, more continuity of care, but helping us all get data that we can use for better research and better outcomes about that research. So that's the beginning of what is telemedicine and telehealth and who is CTEC. The federal government determined that bringing telehealth to fruition around the country is not something that's just going to happen, and that they needed to have some things in place to help people. And the regional telehealth resource centers are one of the things that they are doing. We are a neutral source of information about program development and operations. We keep reference and resource materials. We collect best practices. And we help anybody who calls us up and says, I want to try to get a telemedicine or a telehealth program in place. We have what we call the Center for Applied Telehealth. We are not a university-based program, and our focus is on how do you take the wonderful information that comes out of university-based studies and turn that into practical applications for people who are saying, I want to do a telemed program. Why use telehealth? Kind of talked a little bit about it in the first two presenters. it really reduces barriers to access in a variety of ways. And I think telehealth started in the United States a lot around rural services for outpatient medical specialty care, where it clearly reduces barriers to access. But when you start looking at things like using home monitoring devices and using other kinds of telehealth devices and technologies, all of them reduce barriers to access. We know that telehealth increases the efficiency of providers and actually allows us to get providers where you need them, when you need them. That would be the federal goal of telehealth: resources where you need them, when you need them, and the right ones at the right time. So pediatric endocrinologists, who can be in very short supply rather than being available in one geographic area, can be available to anyone who can get into them on a video conferencing line. Reduces healthcare costs. There are many, many studies that show that telehealth reduces the overall cost of care, not only to the health provider, but to the patient. Reduces delays in care. It retains resources locally, which is something people don't talk about with telehealth a lot. If you're in a rural community or an underserved community and you have people leaving your community to have to go somewhere and stay overnight or be hospitalized somewhere or have tests done somewhere, not only does it take the resources away from the local community who's providing that care, but it also takes the economics as the family goes and they spend their money for food in another community and they go stay overnight somewhere and all of that money is going out of the community. So it really does help the local economy to have telehealth available. Reduces travel, increases patient satisfaction. When telehealth first started, I think there was a question about whether or not people were even going to be willing to use it. And what people are saying about it is they like it as much or better. And I will say, none of us are saying that, those of us who are advocating telehealth say that it is a replacement for a face-to-face visit. But it certainly is, in most cases, equal to. Some people say they like it better. The person who's in a rural area who doesn't have to travel for 10 hours to get to see a dermatologist who can see what they have in a matter of, you know, 2 minutes, and then they turn around and drive 10 hours will tell you that they like telehealth better than they do having a visit in person. It does support improved qualities, and it does improve health outcomes. Some of the studies in telehealth-supported intensive care units are showing that they have much better Apache scores. For those of you familiar with Apache scores, it's an estimate of, based on the condition of the person when they come in, what their outcome will be. They're getting better outcomes, and true in home monitoring as well. I'm going to skip the slides because Mandy really covered very well what's going on with the aging population, and all of you are public health people and clearly know about chronic disease. So the trends around telehealth, right now, I think we are seeing the, perhaps, we keep saying that every year, we go, okay, well now the bubble is going to burst and telehealth will be everywhere. So this year I'll say that, if I'm here again next year I'll probably say it again. There is a national focus on HIT, which we have really not had, I think, in the last 40 years. Healthcare reform talks about telehealth 8 times. It didn't say there'll be reimbursement for telehealth, which is what all the telehealth people were hoping, but I think it might have said something better. It put into federal policy that telehealth is an acceptable way to provide care. It said that community health centers should use it. It said that it can be used for e-prescribing. It said that it can be used for primary care. Every time something came up, it said, and the use of telehealth. So it really laid a federal foundation to say, we can and should look at the use of telehealth. Higher broadband speeds and increased availability of broadband are making telehealth more accessible, not only for clinics and hospitals, but in the home. The Federal Communications Commission has a rural health pilot project program, which is bringing broadband at subsidized rates into rural communities, where they are able to get, in California, we'll be giving subsidized rates till 2016, and I think that's true across the country. So it's one of the barriers that we have had to having the use of electronic and technology around the country, and so that's going to be helping that. There are expanded applications, and I'll talk about it in a minute. There are technology advances. Things are getting smaller. Things are getting less expensive. Things are getting easier to use. Things are getting wireless. And we're beginning to integrate telehealth with the electronic health record. They kind of sat as two things for quite a while. So you had this whole thing of telehealth with video conferencing, and you know, we were talking face-to-face, and you had the electronic record over here. And when we first started doing this, we were actually faxing the electronic, you know, the record from the rural clinic into where the provider was, where the medical specialist was, and they were putting in the chart. Well, now people are starting to put those two together, and I think within a matter of a few years, you'll be able to have your screen that has your electronic record, and you'll be able to have a window that does your telehealth all at the same time. Or at least, you'll be able to transfer the information so that the provider at the remote site can see all of the data. The other thing that has happened over about the last 5 years is that the number of services and the applications available for telehealth have really expanded across the continuum of healthcare. Services in many states started, like I said, with outpatient medical specialty services, often in rural areas because there were grants available for that. But now you're seeing services all the way from the patient education, clinical education, disease monitoring, end of the spectrum, all the way through the intensive care to the places where the care is most urgent and is the most difficult to provide. What's interesting, and there is a large conversation about, well, how do we make telehealth affordable and how do we make it sustainable, because many of the programs are being run on grants, and what happens when the grant runs out? Well, what it appears is that the cost savings or the cost avoidance with telehealth lies at the two ends. At the home monitoring end, they're seeing reductions of as much as 40-45% in readmissions when people use telehealth home monitoring for congestive heart failure, which is a pretty substantial savings. On the other end, all the way up to the emergency room and intensive care, they're seeing huge savings from using telehealth for stroke services so that you have a neurologist who is at the emergency room no matter where, that they are technology-enabled to be able to get a neurology consult for anyone who has a stroke, to tele-ICUs, which are seeing mortality rate reductions of somewhere in the 40% range, depending on the study that you look at, but a pretty substantial reduction in mortality rates, as well as morbidity, as well as length of stays, not only in the ICU, but in the acute care bed when they are transferred down. In the middle, not so much. You know, you're providing services to people who are in rural areas where there aren't that many visits, and you do have the cost of the equipment and the cost to maintain the equipment. Maybe there never will be a break even for that. But when you look across the spectrum of all services as telehealth, there clearly is an advantage from an economic standpoint and a health standpoint. So as we look at how people put together a telemedicine program and make one actually come up and stay up, it's been kind of challenging. Do any of you have telemed programs that you're running? Many of them get started and they flounder as soon as they don't have a grant anymore, or they take a long time to bring up, or they buy equipment and find out they bought the wrong thing. Well, what appears to be the case is that if you want to develop a successful program, you need a commitment, and you need a pretty good commitment, not just saying, yeah, we think we'd like it. You need somebody who's going to stand up and say, I want this. You need support from the executive and clinical staff, or your program will not stay up. You need to know enough to be able to do this and not just say, I like it, and so we'll go ahead. You need some persistence, because these programs don't just start and go, okay, here we are. And you need a process. And that's where CTEC and the other resource centers come into play for you. What, after doing 33 prisons, I had kind of a little system in place that you were going to do the same thing in every setting because you had the same things that you needed to do. Well, when I got out of the correctional environment and said, how does this apply in a non-correctional environment and in our rural and underserved areas, it's the same process. There may be a couple little things that are different because you're working in a correctional environment, but the healthcare pieces are all the same. You need a replicable process, you need to apply best practices across that, and you need to incorporate lessons learned. We have 15 years experience on how to do this, and now we think that we can actually get these programs in place. If you take best practices and lessons learned and you tie it to a structured approach that uses project management tools, that you can get to successful and sustainable health telehealth programs in a much shorter period of time. So CTEC has a process that we use, and there are many processes around. This is just ours, and you'll see that the steps are very similar to any public health program development that you've ever done in your life. And it's look at the need and define what the model is and look at a business case and plan the technology, look at performance, implement the program, and then do some kind of review so that you have an ongoing improvement program. The first step really asks the question that I think public health people are far more adept and have it in their consciousness a lot more than others do, is what problem are we solving? You know, what are the needs of the community that we're intending to do with telehealth? Because just saying you want it and you want to have the equipment, you want to say, okay, well, we have a telemed program, doesn't mean it will stay up. Then you look at what the model is. There's a number of ways to do telehealth, including live interactive services where you're talking back and forth in real time to store and forward where you're transmitting images and letting a clinician look at them at a later time. Defining the model and then looking at a business case. As I was saying in the earlier slide, getting a business case for sustainability is much easier on the two ends of the spectrum. Getting a business case in the middle for our rural and underserved communities, using them for outpatient services, not so much. But I think that everyone agrees it's the right thing to do, and you ought to go ahead and do that business model anyway to be able to say, this is the benefit to our community, and this is what it will cost to do this. And then you can go to a funder and say, I need this much money to be able to put this program in, rather than give me some money and we'll figure out later. We found that it's much better to be able to approach a funder or to be able to approach an organization and say, this is the benefit we're going to provide, and this is what it will cost for us to be able to do this, and there may not be any return on that investment other than the health outcomes of our patients and the benefit to the public health of the community. Having a team turns out to be something that without it, you probably won't get a program that comes up and stays up. And a team for us is clinical staff, executive staff, administrative, fiscal staff, operational staff, technical staff, public relations, and HR. And if you don't bring all of those people together and say, we're going to start a telehealth program, sooner or later, one of them is going to come in and say, what are you doing? I don't get it, and I don't like it. Only because they weren't there at the beginning, so then you have to come all the way back around and get them on board with you. If you can bring everybody together at the beginning, then you have a much better chance of having your program go forward, and everybody's on your team and saying, I want this. The second step that we see, or phase that we see in this, is then planning the program and the technology and looking at a performance monitoring plan. Many of the really early telehealth programs just got equipment and started doing services. And probably the biggest, if we had something that I would go back and change, so we did not look at performance monitoring or data collection. And so you had clinics who they would say, I did 5 dermatology services this month, isn't that great? Say 5 out of how many that you could have done? 5 out of 5 or 5 out of 100? So we never really knew at what level we were impacting how care was provided in that community because they didn't look at that. CTEC put together last year a panel, a national experts panel, and said, what should you collect? And so we've come up with a tool that allows people to go through and say, here are the things that we think we'd like to monitor, and here are the data that you would want to collect to do that, to kind of help people along in that process. When you do program development, there are a number of things you need to look at, the equipment and what it does and whether it's interoperable and how it will work within your particular environment. What are the clinical aspects around having clinical protocols and how you work? Legal and regulatory can be a challenge, and you need to find out about legal and regulatory issues. Human factors are certainly, this is a change. It's just a change like any other change, and you have to approach it from that the approach of change management and how do you work with people to get them to do something different. Early predictors of success are knowing what the needs are and having a business model and determining how you will sustain yourself. And then for us, the very last part of it is to actually implement your plan and then evaluate and improve your plan. These are the predictors of success. Some that I have not talked about are having mentors and program assistants and having a coordinator for the program development turn out to be pretty high predictors of success. So it can be very difficult to find answers, and often people are just Googling away, and what they find is many PowerPoint presentations like mine that you'll find on the internet, but you won't really find out how to do this. CTEC has a web portal for resources and a knowledge center that has laws and regulations on it, and it has tools and templates, and it has questions and answers, and has all kinds of things, as do all of our telehealth resource centers. There's 10 of them around the country. Three of them were just announced just a couple of weeks ago. They are available to you. They know what's going on in their region, so they can answer questions like, is reimbursement available in my state? Is, you know, what kind of services? Who can you hook me up to be a mentor? There are a few states in gray that are not yet covered by a resource center, but all of the resource centers said we would adopt all those states. So if you are in one of those states, please feel free to call us anyway, because we will help you. The things that the resource centers provide are consulting services and advice. We'll help you with technology assessments. We have tools. We have templates. We have training videos. We have a program development kit. All kinds of things are available from the resource centers, so take advantage of the resource centers. And I finished just in time.
Thank you.